All right, we're going to dive back into the series that we are in that I've titled Devoted, which is really the theme of this year, Devoted. And the question we're asking this whole year is, what does it look like to live lives that are devoted to the Lord? What does it look like? Not just to be good church people. What does it look like to live lives devoted to the Lord? And for the first few weeks, we dealt with practical issues. We dealt with being devoted in the word and devoted in prayer. Last week, we talked about being devoted in worship. It was so great having Pastor Tyler join us last week. If you missed the message, I would encourage you to go back. He has one fan in the audience, so that's good. No, he did a great job. And so if you missed that message, I would encourage you to go back and watch that message, listen to that message. But today, we're going to come back to the foundation. What does it look like to have a devoted heart? And if you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61? Isaiah 61, beginning in verse number 1, as you're turning there in your Bibles. Just a reminder, we've got three reading plans going on right now. And so I encourage you, if you've fallen off a little bit, jump back in, get back in with your reading plans. If you're doing the shred, we only got like a week and a half left. If you've fallen behind, it's okay. If you finish in 32 or 33 days, that's fine. Just keep pushing, all right? But would you stand with me across the room as we're going to read just a few verses together from Isaiah 61. Beginning of verse 1 says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. If you're comfortable doing so, would you just place your hand over your heart this morning as we pray together? Father, this morning we want to bring our hearts to you. We don't want to go through a religious ritual of doing what we always do, God. We want to hear from you. We want to give you our attention. So God, I pray today for those that find themselves in the text that we just read. They walked in the door with despair. They walked in the door mourning. They walked in the door feeling like life is full of ashes. God, may they be reminded of the good news of the gospel. And Father, may we return to you with all of our hearts. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. All right, I've got a problem. And it's a problem that most men have. I like to prove how strong I really am. And I know what you're thinking. He doesn't look that strong. And you're right. I'm not that strong, okay? But that doesn't matter, because I'll take any chance I can to try and show off how strong I am. I love it when my kids are not strong enough to do something, and then dad can step in and solve the problem, right? I'll pick that up for you. Let me show. I love it when Amber can't open a jar, and she's like, Greg, can you open this? I'm like, yes, I can. Flex while I'm doing it. You know, it just makes me feel good about myself. In fact, my family, we were on vacation and we were placed and they had all these water bottles, and they're giving you water bottles all the time. And I felt amazing because I was the only one that could open the water bottles for the entire vacation. The dad came up, I'm like, yeah, boom, 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 boom. I'm knocking bottles open. Right? Feel good about myself. But the problem is sometimes that backfires on me. Maybe you can experience this at some point in your life, but this happened 2 years ago. I lift with a couple buddies, Aaron Myers here on the front row and Dustin May. We lift a couple times a week. And about 2 years, oh, there's Dustin back there. He didn't like getting pointed out. So he's like, oh, okay. So 2 years ago, we're lifting and it's bench day, which is the best day. I love doing bench day. And so, and I had been like, I hit the max where it was. I'm like, I need to go up a little bit. And so I'm like, I think I'm going to add 2.5 on each side, you know, 5 pounds more. That seems reasonable. And Aaron on the front row said, no, throw a 10 on each side. And he didn't really ask. He just started putting a 10 on both sides of the bench. And you know, and he's like, you can do it. And I'm like, yeah, I can do it. And I'm like flexing, you know, you're like chewing this kind of thing, whatever. And so I get down and I go, and my form was not very good at that point in time. And so I do it. And I do one. And I'm like, I got one. Yeah, I got it. And I felt something right here in my shoulder, but I got a man up still. I'm like, no, I can still do it. So I go through, I finish the set, you know, I proceed to do 2 more sets with this shoulder, which is clearly something wrong. We get to the next exercise. I can't even pick the weight up. I'm like, guys, I'm done. I have done something to my shoulder. This is no good. For the next 6 months, I am dealing with this shoulder. I had to go through physical therapy, all these kind of things, all because I was trying to man up, right, and prove that I could do this thing. And here's my fear. The fear I have for us as a church this year is that we would take the theme of being devoted and we would do the same thing. Okay, God, watch how devoted I can be, right? I can be the most devoted. Like, look at me read my Bible. Look at me pray, right? Look at me worship. I'm the most devoted here. Because this becomes a toxic mindset for us as followers of Christ, okay? You need to hear this. Faith is not about you proving your worth and devotion to God. What does Scripture say? Your righteousness, your attempt to be the most devoted is as filthy rags before his righteousness. It's garbage. There's nothing we can do to satisfactorily be the most devoted. Somehow we can make ourselves right before God and deserve his grace and his mercy. Listen, if this is the mindset that you are living with, just imagine living 50 years of your life thinking this was your goal. I've got to prove myself to God. I've got to be good enough for God. That is suffocating. Why? Because you become the focus of your life. Your goodness becomes the focus. How can I pull this thing off to prove myself? And I hope I'm good enough for God. Hear this. Faith is not about you proving your worth and devotion to God. Faith is about responding to God's extravagant gift of grace by offering him what he's asked for, your heart. And that's what I want to talk about today. We go back to the passage that we just read together from Isaiah, which is Isaiah 61. Love this passage. And this is the very passage that Jesus read when he began his ministry. He goes into a synagogue, he opens it up, right? Opens the scroll up, turns to Isaiah 61, and he begins to read this thing. Line by line, begins to read this. Like Jesus saying, listen, this is why I came. This is the good news. I've been anointed for this. What? To bind up the brokenhearted. Some of you are broken this morning. Like, that's what Jesus came to do, to bind up your broken heart, to proclaim freedom to the captive. And some of you are still walking right now in bondage. It's as if you are in jail. And what does he say? I want to release the prisoners. I want you to be free. This is why I have come. He goes on in this same passage, talks about giving beauty instead of ashes. And right now you feel like your life is filled with ashes. It's brokenness. It's darkness. And God said, I came to do something new. I came to breathe life into you. Instead of mourning, to give you joy in your heart, right? Instead of despair, to give you a garment of praise, that you would be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. This is what God has come. This is why Christ came. This is the good news of the gospel that he makes available to us, that the God of all creation broke into our world to offer healing and redemption and restoration and freedom. He can speak a better word over your life. He speaks a better word over this world. And he's invited you to a restored relationship with him as the author of hope and life. It's the author of peace and joy. This is what he came to do. This is the good news. And so in response to this, in response to what he has done, in response to what he has made available, what is the call? The response is that we would put our trust and faith in this Jesus, right? That we would hope in him. But over and over again in Scripture, God reveals that his desire isn't just that you would try to modify your behavior and try to be a better person. He's not just concerned with our external indicators. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. One of my favorite passages is in Joel chapter 2. In the book of Joel, it's a prophet Joel is speaking words to God's people. And one of the passages in chapter 2, he's given this message of impending judgment for God's people because they've been going the wrong way, right? And he brings this warning. And you find this two verses here in Joel chapter 2 where he says this. This is Joel speaking. It says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Listen, he wants your heart. He's not just interested in you just trying to be better. He wants everything. He wants the core, right? But he goes on and says this, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, and he relents from sending calamity. It's these two phrases that I love. Rend your heart and not your garments. What does that mean? You see, when they would repent, if they would have a repentant heart being responsive to God's message in some way, I'm going to repent. One of the natural things to show their mourning is they would begin to rip and tear their clothes. Sometimes they'd rub dust up on their head to show that they were being really repentant. God, I'm really sorry. Look at me. This is what I'm doing. And God's speaking, saying, listen, rend your heart, not your garments. What is he saying when he says that? Listen, I'm not as concerned about your external great. I'm glad you're tearing your clothes. I'm glad you're showing, making it look like you're really turning back to me. But what I really want is your heart. That's what I'm most interested in. And I think the challenge that we have is how often can we go through the motions, the spiritual motions externally, and yet our hearts are far from God. We're not bringing the most important thing to the table. God isn't looking for shallow religious motions. He wants our heart. But have you ever asked the question, what does that mean? Like, what is my heart really mean? So we're going to frame the rest of our talk by just addressing a few questions here. And I hope this is helpful for you in the process of what it is God's asking of us. The first question I want to ask is this. What is our heart? What is our, scripturally, what is our heart? Because scripture says, love the Lord God with all your heart. What does it mean? For us, when we hear heart, I think we might think, you know, it's Valentine's Day this week, right? What comes to mind when you see a, think heart, we think of this like, nice little heart, just like this, you know? Think about lovey things, all those kind of things. You know, I think maybe when you think about heart, you think about the core or the center of who you are, maybe your emotions, your feelings, all those kind of things. But in scripture, the heart represents far more than just that. Okay? And so there's actually four things I want to think about here this morning that scripture points to that the heart represents. First off, the heart is the seat of our emotions, our feeling. Okay? And I think most of us recognize this. When we think about our heart, we think about our feeling. Okay, yeah, our emotions. That makes sense to most of us. All right? But that's not it. Okay? The heart is also the seat of our intellect. When you look at scripture, a lot of times it's pointing to you thinking with your heart. Right? And so our heart, when scripture talks about the heart, it's not just feelies, right? There's actual intellect a part of this, okay? Third thing, the heart is the seat of our will. Scripture points that this is your choosing takes place from your heart. Those are the things that guide the decisions that you're making. And fourth, heart is the seat of our desires, our craving, right? Throughout scripture, what is the heart desiring, running after, desiring in some way? When we respond to God's goodness and mercy by surrendering our hearts to him, it isn't just the ushy-gushy. It isn't just this, right? Oh, God, I'll give you my heart, and I just feel all this stuff all the time. No, when we surrender our hearts to Jesus, when we give him our lives, it is surrendering all this. God, I love you, and I surrender to you, and I give you my emotion, my intellect, my will, my desire. The heart is so much bigger than what I think we normally think about. And if we say our hearts are devoted to the Lord, then there should be evidence in every one of these areas that our hearts are devoted to him, that we've surrendered to him. Now, I think this makes sense for most of us, okay? Because think about earthly love for a moment. All right, Valentine's Day is coming up. I got my wife, Amber. Of course, I tell her, oh, I write her a note, you know? I'm going to write her something super romantic, I'm sure, for Valentine's Day. It's going to be, oh, Amber, I love you so much. You know, and it's going to be really ushy-gushy and feely, okay? It is. It's going to be absolutely that. But imagine that I gave her that, this beautiful Valentine. And then the rest of the week, all I did was think about how much I can't stand her and how I don't like this or I don't like this or whatever. That's how I think about. And then when it came to the will, I don't ever choose her. I always choose everybody else over her. Like she's the last. She gets the end. She gets the remnant. She doesn't get my best. She gets the leftover. And when it comes to desire, I know I say, Amber, I feel this about you, but I actually desire a bunch of other women instead. How do you think Valentine's Day is going to go? Not so well, right? Like, this makes sense to us. Amber said, I'm dead. That's what she said. So, at least we have a clear understanding of this. Okay. No, but this is what it means. Like, we all understand, of course, when it comes to my feeling, my thinking, my choosing, my craving, it better be directed toward my wife. Otherwise, am I really devoted to her? No. And see, God simply is asking for what makes the most sense. He wants our heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. But even if we respond to his mercy by offering him our heart, we have another question. What is that? What is our tendency? I don't know about what you think your tendency is, but I think I know what your tendency is, and it's one word: drift. How many can resonate to that? When it comes to following God, I think we all have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency to walk away, to say one thing, but do something else. And the reality is, drifting is normal. Have you ever been changing the radio station and then looked up and realized you're crossing the line before while driving a car, right? Right? You're looking down here like, whoop, we started, because it's normal. If you're not focused on something, you have a tendency to drift away. And this is what all of us struggle with. It doesn't matter if it's food or exercise or good habit or faith, drifting happens. And maybe, just maybe, some of you are here today and you would be honest, like, it's kind of where I am right now. Maybe it's been a few years. You can think back a few years ago when you were just devoted to the Lord. You were responding to him. You wanted to be with him. But today, if you're honest, that's not where your faith is at. For some of you, it's possible that you started the 21 days of prayer, and that first week you were just like, you're praying every day, and you're there and you're giving God your attention, but you've already felt like you've drifted a little bit. It's okay. Like, that's the normal. That's the tendency for us. In fact, I was doing the shred here. In the first 2 weeks of doing the shred of reading the scriptures, you're going through the entire Old Testament really fast. And when you do that, you're just like, holy cow, Israelites, how stupid can you be? That's how I feel. Sorry. Okay? Because if you read it really quick, it's like whiplash. Like, we love the Lord. We hate the Lord. We're following him. We're not following him. Like, I drew this picture here, and it's this like little about, like, this is what it feels like. The entire, like, it's like, what? Yes, we serve you. No. And I can make fun of the Israelites, but the reality is, this is what my day can look like sometimes. You know? Like, I can have days like this where I'm like, yes, and we're just like constantly going back and forth. Whether it's my feeling, it's my thinking, it's my choosing, or my craving, all of them fail to be devoted to God. Even though I want to be devoted, like, I want to be. I think that's why you're here. You want to be devoted to the Lord, but there's this tendency. Like, when we're reminded of God's goodness and his mercy, like, we want to live in devotion, but so often we end up straying away in some way. And so what is the answer? The answer this morning is very simple, and it's our big so what this morning. And it's this: devoted hearts just keep coming back. Devoted hearts just keep coming back. Devoted hearts aren't people who are so amazing at flexing their devotion at the Lord. Like, look how good I am, Lord. No, devoted hearts are ones that say, you know what, even when I drift, I'm going to turn my heart back to you. When your spirit calls, I'm going to answer. When conviction comes, I'm not going to turn. I'm going to allow that conviction to compel me back to turn my heart to you, Lord. Over and over and over again. See, turning our hearts to the Lord is not a one-time thing. It doesn't happen at an altar one day and then we carry on the rest of our lives. No, a devoted heart is one that just keeps coming back. There's two stories that I want to close here with today. One of them I shared a couple weeks ago. It's the story of Asa and the story of David. Two different stories, similar circumstances, very different outcomes. The story of Asa, as I shared a few weeks ago, Asa was a king and over God's people, and there was a circumstance where a nation rose up against God's people, and so Asa, in a place of desperation, turns to God and says, God, we trust in you. Our hope is in you. Will you come fight on our behalf? And you can read about it in 2 Chronicles. There's a crazy story, ghoul story of God coming and working and giving them the victory. And it's this beautiful thing. And throughout the early part of Asa's life, he was faithful. Faithful. They destroyed some of the idols they were worshiping, cut down some all that stuff. And they were truly being faithful to God. But as you follow along in the story, you get into chapter 16, it says that somewhere along the way, it's clear that Asa's heart started to drift a little bit. And it says that a similar circumstance happens where a nation rises up against God's people. But rather than Asa turning to the Lord and declaring his trust and his hope in the Lord, what does he do? He goes and takes the gold out of the Lord's storehouse and he brings it to another nation, a foreign nation, and says, will you go fight our battle on behalf of us? And they join in. Instead of doing what he knew to do, instead of trusting in the Lord, he turned another way. There's a similar story found in, another story about David where David is, I think it's a story that most of you are familiar with in Samuel where it begins a good story. You know, David and Goliath, you got David doing all these battles, just victory after victory and just amazing. You hear the story of being a man after God's own heart, right? But then we get the story of David where he is out at a time when he's supposed to be at war. He stays back and he sees a woman bathing. And so he brings that woman in, has adultery with her, right? And then ultimately has the husband killed of that woman. And it's this kind of repulsive story when you think about it. Just like, I can't believe King David, this man after God's heart, this is how he responds. What's different and unique to me in these two stories is how they responded to being confronted. Because when you read in chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, Asa is confronted by a prophet who comes and calls out the situation. You've done something you shouldn't do. You know what Asa's response to that prophet is? He throws him into prison. And if you read the rest of the story, it looks as though Asa never really turns back to the Lord. It looks as though his heart becomes cold and he no longer turns his eyes to the Lord. But when you go to the story of David, you know what takes place. It says the prophet Nathan comes, right? And he calls out his sin. What is David's response in that moment? It's one of surrender and humility. In fact, there's an entire psalm, Psalm 51, that's written. It's David's cry and his prayer. And in the middle of that psalm, what does he pray? Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. See, in a moment, they both drifted. But one chose to keep drifting and the other decided to bring their heart back to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to shape me again. I need you to heal me. I need you to make me new. That's what devoted hearts look like. None of us are going to live this life perfectly before the Lord. None of us are going to get to the end of our lives and say, nailed it, did it all perfect, I'm amazing. That's not what's going to happen. We're going to get to the end of our lives and say, God, but for your grace. But this side of eternity, my desire is that I would have a heart that consistently turns back to the Lord. That when his spirit calls, when a conviction comes, that I would bring my heart back before the Lord. And I don't just wait for the broken moments. It's the habit of my life to consistently bring. I just keep coming back day after day after day after day. I tell the staff all the time, I can set up all the accountability around your lives to try and make sure you don't go off the rails, but nothing replaces you bringing your heart before the Lord every single day. Saying, God, here's my heart. I'm not going through spiritual motions. I'm not having my quiet time as if it's some box that needs to be checked, right? Because I ask you, where are you at in your life? What is your time with the Lord? Like, are you just checking that? I read my chapter, God. I said my prayers today. I don't care if you do those. What matters more than that is you take a few moments and you bring your heart before the Lord. Say, God, here's my heart. God, I give you my will. I give you my intellect. I give you my emotion. I give you my desires. God, I surrender those to you today. I give it to you, right? Sunday mornings, Listen, if you check in for an hour Sunday and you casually sing along with a few songs, listen to a sermon and walk out the door, you've wasted your time. If you do not come and say, God, I'm here to give you my heart again. Like, I love Sunday mornings. You're like, it's every week. You're right. Guess what? Every week, I need to devote my heart to the Lord. I need to surrender my heart to the Lord again. Like, that cannot become mundane to us. It has to be alive, because that's what followers of Christ do. Daily saying, God, here I am. In response to your mercy and to your grace, I give you what you ask for, which is my heart. And when I give you my heart, my behavior changes. My actions change. My thoughts, all those things change. But it starts with my heart. And this is the promise in Ezekiel. What does it say in Ezekiel? He says that he will replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And so as we consistently keep bringing our heart back to the Lord, he starts to work on our heart, to shape our heart, to shape our emotions, to shape our intellect, to shape our desires, to shape our will, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's why this is good news. Devoted hearts, it's not a striving and I gotta prove it. No, it's simply giving God the opportunity to do what he promised he would do. God, do it in my heart. God, don't let me get callous. And if you're here this morning, there's three groups I want to talk to you. Some of you, you've gone through religious motions your whole life. You have never surrendered your heart to the King of all. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And to give your heart to him. There are some of you here though this morning, you're in the category where you'd say you've been drifting, whether it's been for a week, whether it's been weeks, or whether it's been years. If you're honest, you're just going through the motions. Rend your heart, not your garments. Would you surrender your heart to him fresh today? For those of you who are like, I'm in a good place right now spiritually, awesome. Then we're going to all do what we do every week. Here's my heart again, Lord. Same thing we're going to do tomorrow, and then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday. God, here's my heart. I give it to you. Would you respond to him today? You bow your heads, close your eyes across the room. I just want to give you a space to make an altar right where you're at. Give the Holy Spirit an opportunity just to speak to your heart. I believe he wants to speak to us today. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you space right now. God, none of us want to go through spiritual motions. I don't want to play church games. God, I want to actually respond the way you've invited me to, God. And I pray that over this church, God, that we would not just be a church that goes through the motions. God, that we would be a church that regularly brings our heart before the Lord, offers everything to you, giving you the space to do what only you can do inside of us. I want to speak first to those who just, you're in a season right now. You say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but man, I've been drifting. I've just been drifting in my faith for the last period of time, and I don't want that anymore. I want to just have a moment of once again returning to the Lord. If that's you, with every head bow, every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity just to respond. This is for you, not for me. I'm not even going to open my eyes right now. This is for you. If that's you right now, would you just lift a hand and say, God, yeah, I'm drifting right now, and I want to turn back to you. It's an act of surrender right now. Say, God, that's me. God, I pray for those that are in that place right now. Today would be a moment of just true surrender to you, God. God, putting off the things that have been distracting. God, may we have the hearts like Psalm 51 that just says, create in me a clean heart, God, a pure heart. I return to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, just even on your own, just have a moment, an altar right where you're at. Just say, God, forgive me. I want to return. I want to rend my heart, not my garments. I want to rend my heart. I want to turn it over to you again. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're in a place where you've never truly surrendered your heart to Christ, you maybe played the religious game, or maybe you've just walked in the door today and You didn't even know that was available. Listen, the God of the universe loves and cares for you. He went to a cross, paid the penalty for your sin that you might have the opportunity to be restored, to be redeemed, to be invited into his kingdom both now and for all eternity, to be rescued and saved from separation from God and to experience life eternal. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to Christ, this is the most important decision you can make. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you want to respond to Jesus and surrender your heart for the very first time or the first time in a long time, I invite you just to raise your hand across the room. Say, that's me. I want to respond to Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. 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 I don't want to rush you if there's any others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. If that's you, I just want you to pray in your own heart right now as I pray. God, thank you so much that you do love and care for me, that you pursued me despite my brokenness, and you are offering new life, and I thank you for that, Jesus. I admit that I'm a sinner, that I need saving. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died and rose again. I believe that he is Lord of all, and I confess him Lord of my life. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin, that you would give me a new beginning. Help me to follow you and live for you with a heart that's all devoted to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.